We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
She was in Greece somewhere this week, and while she was there, we recently moved to Hilton, and so, we're in a new neighborhood, and going into Greece, like, we're closer to Greece now than we are to Brockport, and so before we'd, probably come to Brockport for whatever, and now we're going normally to, like, North Greece area, and she realized that there's so many people. She was there, and you know, sometimes if you're in the town where you're from or the town where you live and you've been there for a while, you start to, you know people and you see people that you've become close with and you've impacted and, had influenced them and they influence you maybe. And that's great. But she was in this place where she didn't know anyone, and it just kind of like made her feel like, are we even making an impact? There's so many people out there. You go into a place where you're completely unfamiliar with people, and you realize how many people are out there, and it can almost make you wonder, am I really making an impact? Am I really making a difference? And so we talked about it for a little bit, and that's basically what put this message on my heart this morning. And last Sunday I talked about this question: who is the one? And if you were here last week, you remember I was talking about how, sometimes we see the great task of reaching the world. We see the great task of reaching a city, of reaching a region, or there's so much to do in the kingdom of God, and there's so many people to reach, and sometimes that can almost be immobilizing because there's so much to do that we don't even know how to get started. So rather than getting started with one person that's right in front of us, one person that we can make an impact on, one person that is there today that we can pray for and tell about Jesus or pray that they would be healed or be generous to, one person, rather than focusing on that and what God can do in that one person's life, sometimes it can be, because the task is so big, we almost just think, well, what difference can I really make? And then for some people, we just kind of stop doing anything. And so, Jesus, even though he had crowds of people following him, he had a way of seeing the one person in the crowd or wherever he was. He would see one person that had a need, one person that had faith. And he would, though he did many times minister to multitudes, but also more common, at least recorded in the scripture, the miracles that are recorded is often where one person had been impacted by Jesus in his ministry. And so that was the message last week, talking about ministering to that one person that you find in your life that has a need. And I hope that you were able to find somebody this past week to minister to pray for, to pray for healing for, to tell about Jesus. I hope that you found someone. And if you didn't, I pray that you'll find someone this week. And more than just praying about it, you just have to kind of do it. Some people, never do anything because they say their ministry is just for prayer. We just pray for people. Well, there is a time to pray, and then there's a time to get up and do something about it. Amen? There's a time for both. And so, but I want to talk about this kind of almost what we were talking about last night, my wife and I. And, what is one of the most discouraging things about ministry? And I'm not talking there when I say about ministry, about being in the ministry. I'm talking about every single believer is called to minister to other people. So I'm not saying like, what's one of the most discouraging things about starting a church or, being an evangelist or whatever. But I'm talking about as a Christian and you go to minister to someone, what is one of the most discouraging things? And for me, I would have to say that when you pray for someone or you minister to that person and nothing happens. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that where you went out and, maybe you just, maybe it was after a Sunday service or you had listened to a sermon during the week and you hear an inspiring message about how, we're called to go out and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick. And you're like, I'm going to go out there and do it. And you go out there full of faith, ready to kick the devil in the teeth, and you lay hands on a sick person, and then nothing happens. Have you ever had that happen? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, it's happened to me, and I think that can be one of the most discouraging things is, you know, when you go out there and then that happens. And then probably the only thing that's more discouraging than that is if you go out there and it happens again. Wouldn't you say? You know, it's bad when you go out and you pray for someone and it doesn't really look like anything happened, and then you're like, well, I'm not going to give up, and so I'm going to do it again. And then what's worse than that is if you go out a third time and then it happens a third time. Wouldn't you say? You know, and I know that, you know, all of you are so radical for God that would never happen to you, but it's happened to me. It's happened to me where, you know, I've prayed for many people, and at least according to what I know and according to what I saw, it didn't look like anything happened. You know, and maybe it's happened for you, or I know it's happened for me, where you go out and you tell someone about Jesus and they kind of just like brush you off or laugh you off or yell you off, you know, and you're like, well, you know, this is good news, so someone's going to want to hear good news. And then you tell five more people about it, and five more people brush you off or yell you off or try and discourage you. And that can really become discouraging. You know, so I would say that that's one of the hardest things about ministering to people, and maybe if you're tenacious, you try it again and again and again, but what if you still don't see the results? What if you still don't see something happen? Now, this isn't to imply that that's going to be the case for anybody here, that's the case. You know, remember, the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. You know, we go out there, so I'm not trying to say that this is what's going to happen, that when you go out and pray for someone that you're not going to see anything. I'm believing, you know, that when we go out and we pray for people that results happen, you know, every time, you know. But I'm just saying that there might be someone out there, you know, maybe that has happened to you, where you went to minister to someone and you didn't see the result that you had prayed for. Now, in theory, we don't let this discourage us. In theory, we just keep going at it, right? We know that, you know, sooner or later we're gonna see the results, we're gonna see the miracles take place, we're gonna see people get saved, we're gonna see this happen. So in theory, you know, because we're all in perfect faith all the time, in theory we just keep going forward, but in actuality or sometimes reality, it really can be discouraging. Where if you've prayed for people or you've been believing God for something and, you know, you've been desiring for something and or you've been sowing seed and you've been believing for a financial breakthrough and, you know, you've been praying for someone to get saved or a loved one to become born again and you haven't seen it yet. And, you know, according to faith, you know, we just keep fighting, we just keep pushing forward. But sometimes, because we are still people and we have feelings, though some of us less than other, that being me, you know, sometimes you still feel that, and it can be discouraging, and in a way that's almost, you know, what my wife was kind of talking about with me, and you know, I didn't tell her like, oh, you of little faith, how could you ever feel something like that, you know, but it happens. We sometimes can be discouraged, and if you've gone out there and prayed for people and ministered to people and you didn't see exactly happen what you wanted to happen, you might start to feel a little discouraged about that, and that's happened to me. And, you know, if you're here and maybe you're a little bit more of a seasoned Christian, then you know that you just push through, you just persevere, and, you know, that, you know, maybe you didn't see results for a little while, but then all of a sudden the breakthrough came. But what if someone here is maybe a new Christian and they just, you know, went out for the first time and prayed for someone and they didn't see something happen? Well, you know, I want to be an encouragement to anyone that might be feeling this way. Or what if you did go out and minister to people? You know, you're bold, you're on fire for God, you're going to go out and you're going to shake the nations. And over time, you've lost your boldness. Well, you know, we want to see results. We should see results, right? I'm not going to tell the story. I've told it here several times about the guy at the gym that walked around picking up no weight at all and just doing one repetition and just wandering around the gym for an hour and not getting results. We don't want that to be us. We want to have results. The question that I want to ask you in regard to all of this is, when you went out there and you prayed for someone and you told them about Jesus and you lay hands on them and you didn't see the results that you wanted to have happen, how do you know what actually happened? Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read one of my favorite stories of healing, and I've preached on it here many times, and I love the Word of God because you can go to it time and time again and read passages that you've read time and time again and still get something new out of it. And that's actually what happened to me here with this passage in chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel, starting in verse 11. It's the passage, the story of the 10 lepers. In verse 11 it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, if you've been coming here to church here for a while, you've probably heard me share on this story maybe multiple times. I love it because of the multiple aspects of faith and the miracle that took place, the cleansing of the leper that took place here. But today I want to focus on a different part of this story. So let's look at this. How did Jesus know that they were healed? Because when were they healed? As they went, Jesus told them to go to the temple. Now the lepers were where? In cities in Israel? Outside the city, right? The temple was where? Inside the city. So he told them to leave where he was. He told them to go into the city, and we don't have any indication that he went with them. In fact, you can pretty much assume that he didn't go with them, because he only ever was in contact with the one that came back to him, right? So when were the 10 cleansed of their leprosy? As they went, right? As they were away from Jesus. Now we don't know, they might have still been in his sight, but it says that as they went, so I'm assuming that Jesus had carried on going, and I'm making some assumptions, but I assume that Jesus had stayed there or kept going where he was going and doing the ministry that he was doing after he had told those 10 lepers to go into the temple and show themselves to the priest. So 9 others didn't tell him what had happened. 10 people received a pretty amazing miracle, right? I mean, if you were cleansed of leprosy, wouldn't you say that's a pretty phenomenal miracle? And yet Jesus only heard one report out of 10. Let me ask you, what if you've been ministering to people and you've only ever heard back 1 out of 10 reports? What if you went out and you prayed for 10 people, or let's just say you went out and you prayed for 9 people to get healed, and they all got healed as they went, but you never heard back from any of them. What might happen for you is something that's probably totally different than what happened for them, because they went on and maybe they gave their lives to Jesus, maybe they found a church, maybe they got radically saved, and you know, something crazy happened. But what you saw with your eyes is that I prayed for 9 people to get healed and I didn't see anything. That's what you saw. Because they were healed as they went, they weren't around you, they were long gone, they were on their way to the temple, and the only reason that Jesus knew about the fact that the other 9 were healed was because one of them that was with them came back and told them. I want to encourage you today, because I believe that many of us have gone out and ministered, and we've prayed for people, and we've told people about Jesus, and maybe we haven't always seen the results, but that doesn't mean that the results aren't there. I believe that there's probably many people that have had results, maybe even years after you ministered to that person, maybe years after you told them about Jesus, maybe years after you prayed for them to receive healing, that all of a sudden they received what you prayed for, they received the fruit, and it's awesome for them, but what if you don't ever hear about it? It can almost feel to you like, well, I tried that stuff and it didn't work. And that can be discouraging if you're not staying in faith. That's why it's so important that regardless of what you see with your eyes, is that you stay in faith. I don't know what happened after I prayed for that person. I don't know what happened after I told that person about Jesus and they turned and they walked away. But I'm going to stay in faith that they believe or that they got exactly what I was believing for. Now, I might not see it with my eyes, but it really doesn't matter what I see. Because we walk by what? Faith, not by what? Sight. And after you've done this for a while, you start to hear back testimonies that make you wonder, well, maybe more people are receiving than not. Maybe more people are getting healed than not. You know, that's one of the beautiful things. That's one of the things that I really like. I don't know why I didn't do it sooner, but doing these testimonies, if it's not blessing anyone else in the congregation, it's really blessing me. Now, I know that's not true. I know it's a blessing to everyone that hears. It's awesome. But for me, what's really great is that probably before I started doing these, I probably wouldn't have heard. You know, I mean, there's one testimony that comes to my mind of a person that recently shared a healing, and it wasn't even because I prayed for them. It was because they took action on what we've been teaching, that you can go to God and believe God for your healing for yourself. And I'm pretty sure, I can't be positive, but I'm pretty sure that that person in the church that they had been in prior to coming here, they never would have been taught that. And so for me, as much as I didn't actually pray for that person, I wasn't there to lay hands on them, but they still got a miracle. For me, it's still a testimony for me because, hey, they took action on something that, you know, I helped teach them, helped bring alive from the Word of God to them. So sometimes, maybe there is more fruit that you have accredited to your account than you're seeing with your eyes. But I think because we're human, unless we see and we can taste of the fruit and have it right there in our hands, we can become discouraged because we're not seeing the results. I want to encourage you that regardless of what you see, when you go out and you pray for someone and you lay hands on the sick and you tell them about Jesus, don't worry about it. Give that to God. Let God handle that. You just be faithful to do what God's called you to do. You be faithful to the Great Commission. You be faithful to preach the gospel. You be faithful to lay hands on the sick and then leave the results between them and God. And 10 years later, testimonies start coming back. You know, I shared it several months ago. There's this testimony of this young man that when I worked at Ruby Tuesday in Florida, after I had graduated Bible school, working, serving cheeseburgers, French fries, you know, whatever, serving food to people, not seemingly fulfilling the call of God on my life, right? You know, I had gone to Bible school when I went, I knew what I wanted to do. When I was done, I wanted to go start a church. And here I am, done with Bible school, and I'm serving cheeseburgers. Do you see the difference there? Well, so you know, I mean, during that time, I'm working at this restaurant, and if you've ever worked in restaurants, it's kind of weird, but it seems like people there are generally pretty heathen that work there. I don't know why, but it seemed like every worker that came in there, they were always talking about relationships that they had been in over the weekend, drinking, drugs, you know, the cooks and some of the other servers, they would literally go out and get stoned before their shift, especially on a Friday night, that's the busy shift. So they go out before work and get stoned because it helped them stay calm when things got busy. That's what they even told me, you know, because they come in and you can tell they're all messed up. And And they're like, and they might even ask you, do you want to come out and try it with them? And they're like, it just helps take the edge off or whatever. You know, I just say that because it wasn't the most godly environment to be in. I suffered persecution there. This girl came up and grabbed my butt one time. Persecution. I was just like, what in the world just happened? Should I file a sexual harassment suit? You know, I mean, I don't know. It's like a godless place, Ruby Tuesday. And there was this guy who now, you know, I know the whole story. But, you know, I knew he was doing some drugs back then. But he told me now when he shared his testimony, which, spoiler, but this is 8 years later, but he had his own growth operation where he was growing, I think he had a 10 by 10 square foot room where he was growing marijuana. And, you know, at the time, you know, he was a very philosophical guy, and he would, you know, he knew that I was a Christian, and he would come up to me, and he would like to talk about God, but only kind of like in an antagonizing way, only ever to kind of like, you know, argue and to go back and forth. And I was always, I never would argue with him. Maybe that annoyed him, but I would never argue with him. I'd tell him what I, you know, God loves us and why I believe in Jesus and how he had become real to me and so on and so forth. And, you know, 8 years later, he sends me his test. It's almost 10 years later, you know, that he sends me his testimony through Facebook. And after that time at Ruby Tuesday, when we were working together, he had gone from marijuana into serious drugs, into doing meth, and he had been introduced to meth by his family members and ended up getting into serious drugs, and he had been arrested then a couple different times, and then finally I won't go into all the details. I shared this testimony before of his and kind of read the whole thing. But basically, he had been sentenced to prison because he called the police because he was being chased by these guys that had given him drugs. And he was completely messed up when he called the police, but he was more scared for his life than he was about the fact that he'd been doing drugs. So the police came when they found him. Of course, they searched him, and they found that he actually had meth on him, which is, I think he said it was a felony. And so he was supposed to go to jail for a really long time, and he explained how he must have had some sort of favor with the judge, and he only had to serve like a part of his sentence. And it was, he said during the time that he was in jail and in prison that he'd go to the church there and he'd read his Bible, but he never gave his life to Jesus while he was in prison. And you know, he'd met many Christians in prison and whatnot, but never gave his life to Jesus. It wasn't until he got out of prison. Well, he was there, and he didn't want to go back to the family where he came from because he didn't want to get back into drugs. And he got let out on a given night at midnight, and no one, even though he had written to his family, no one came to pick him up, or he had written to friends, and no one came to pick him up. So by 8 a.m., he'd been out there just sitting there. His clothes, some had happened where he didn't have socks. And so he decided he's going to walk back home, which is an hour drive. He's from the town where I was living. It's about 45 minutes to an hour driving. And he said he's going to walk back there. And he said several hours into it, you know, he's been awake since midnight. It's now 8 a.m. He starts walking back. He's been walking for several hours, no socks. So his feet his feet and ankles are all blistered up, right? And he says for the first time, he actually prayed to God and meant it. Because before it was kind of all like a joke to him. But this now, he actually prayed to God, and you know, I forget what his exact prayer was, but he asked God for help. And he'd been trying to hitchhike the whole way back, you know, with his thumb out or whatever, but no one for a few hours would pick him up. He prayed that prayer, and the next car stopped and picked him up. The guy that stopped to pick him up, you know, he even explained what was, you know, that where he was coming from, and the guy said he would still take him. He said, now, he asked where he's going. He said, he was going to a town about halfway to where the guy wanted to go. And he said, I'm going to church, the guy that picked him up. He said, I'm going to church, and I can either take you up to the town where I'm going and you walk the rest, or you go with me to church. And he said he would go with him to church. He goes to church that day and got saved. And, you know, he's written to me his whole testimony. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. But one of the things that he said after now being born again is that all those years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, of me having shared the gospel with him, of me having told him about Jesus, he said, all this time, you're probably one of the only people that I can remember in my life that was a genuine Christian, that actually shared the gospel with me, that actually was, from what he could tell, living a Christian life. And for me, that hit me because, you know, that's a testimony that I'm now getting back 8 years later, or 9 years later. You know what I mean? There's people out there that you've made an influence on. There's people out there that you've shared the gospel with that maybe years and years later, you'll hear the fruit of their testimony. Or maybe you never will. You know, it's just by chance that he decided to write me. What if he never wrote to me? It would just be another testimony that I didn't hear of. There's people out there that when you go out and you preach the gospel to them, it might look like nothing happened. I'm telling you, that guy pretty much just ridiculed me for my faith. It looked like nothing happened. But apparently, whatever I said, which to be honest, I don't even remember what I told the guy. I just know that, you know, I was always, you know, very open and upfront when people asked me about my faith, and I had no problem telling people about Jesus when I was asked about it. And so I knew we had talked about that kind of thing many times. But he remembered, and he said that that made such an impact on him. And so there's people out there that have a testimony, but you don't know about it. So I want to encourage you to be faithful, to keep going, to keep doing, to keep sowing, to keep running the race. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And in Galatians chapter 6, why don't you turn there with me? Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. The context of this scripture is actually talking about money, which does apply, but I want to bring it out in a different light. In Galatians 6, we can start in verse 6, we might as well. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So here it's talking about, this is talking about sowing and reaping. But in verse 7 it continues, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now here specifically is talking about giving and giving to those in the household of faith. But you could take this further to not just talk about giving, but the same would apply. If we do not lose heart, but we're to keep on doing, it said, and let us not grow weary while doing good. But it's easy to grow weary while doing good. Is that just me? Am I the only one that sometimes grows weary while doing good and not hearing about the fruit of it? Am I the only one that, you know, you've told multiple people about Jesus or invited, you know, 20 people to church and you didn't see them come to church yet, or you prayed for people to get healed and all of a sudden and you haven't heard back the testimony? I would say it's easy to become weary while doing good, and perhaps that's why it says, do not grow weary while doing good. Amen? For in due season, there's a due season. And we don't always know what that due season is. But there is a due season that you will reap. Now go with me to 1 Peter 5. That's further back, the back of the New Testament. 1 Peter 5. And verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. Now, when you do what Jesus did, remember how he taught his disciples? How he washed their feet? How he humbled himself before them? We're humbling ourselves when we're ministering to other people. When you go up to people and you know, you take on, you get persecuted, you get rejected, you get people that, you know, don't receive from you, and they might be upset with you for ministering to them or wanting to minister to them, you know, that comes as persecution. But the Bible says God will exalt you in due time. So don't grow weary. but rather humble yourself before God. Keep doing, keep sowing, keep being generous, keep praying for the sick, keep ministering to people, and watch what God will do. You remember the story of the sower of seed, Jesus' parable? The sower went out to sow, and how many of those seeds came into maturity? 25% or 1 out of 4, right? You can't lose heart. You can't lose heart. You just keep going, keep believing, stay in faith, pray for that person, believe that they receive, be a blessing to people, no matter what you see, no matter what the results are, no matter what you see the results, or you don't see them. You just, I thank God that that word that I shared, that word is an eternal word, that word that went forth, and when you pray for people, give them some word, and then believe God that the word is going to come to pass in them. And, you know, there was this Kenneth Hagin story about this guy. He was an old man. He said he was an agnostic. He said, if there's a God out there, I don't know him. I'm not saying there isn't a God, but if there is a God, I don't know him. And he would come and he was talking to this pastor in Texas. And so eventually that pastor told Brother Kenneth Hagin about him. And so he said, this guy's kind of been a hard case, but it would be great if you would go and talk to him. And so he talked to him, and the more he started talking, he started shouting and yelling and getting all animated and getting mad about God and all of that. And so Kenneth Hagin was able to share like one scripture with him, and the guy stormed off all mad. And Kenneth Hagin prayed that that scripture would not leave him. And that guy came back, like, it was like, I forget the exact testimony, but it was like a week or a couple weeks later. He comes back and he said, every time I went to sleep, I saw that scripture come to me in a dream. Every time I went to sleep, or every time when I woke up, that scripture was on my mind. And that scripture did not leave him until that guy gave his life to Jesus. But what did Kenneth Hagin see? He saw a grumpy old man storm out of his office all mad at God. I think that there's so many testimonies where we just don't really realize what happened after the fact. That there's people that as they went, they received. And 9 out of 10 didn't come back to bring the good news, to bring the report back. So that's good news for you. Just keep going at it. Keep preaching. Keep sharing. Keep laying hands on the sick. Keep being an encouragement. Keep praying for people to be saved. Keep telling them about Jesus. And when you get into eternity, when you come into heaven, you might be surprised to hear your father say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You might be thinking, well, you know, I prayed for so many people and so many people didn't receive it. And he's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? So many of those people received, they just never had a chance to tell you. Ecclesiastes 11 says, starting in verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both will be good. You don't know. You know, sometimes you've been tithing for years, you've been giving for years, And maybe, you know, sometimes we want God to do things our way. We want God to do things a certain way. You know, hey, I have a need for $1,000 this week, so I'm going to, you know, give $100, and therefore I believe I will receive a $1,000 check in the mail. You know, and maybe it didn't come. And then we think that, oh, that didn't work, and, you know, sowing didn't work. How, you know, you can't dictate to God how the fruit is going to come. We can't command, you know, we can believe God for things. You know, I talk about that, how the woman with the issue of blood came and laid hands. She claimed her miracle for God. And I believe that we can sow and believe God for specific needs to be met. But often I think that we're expecting God to do things our way. And if we don't see the results our way, then we think that the results didn't come. But what if you've been tithing? What if you've been giving on top of your tithing? And maybe you never had someone come unload a dump truck of gold in your front yard. But what if, you know, and you're just like, you know, all that financial prosperity stuff, you know, they talk about, you know, it just doesn't work. Well, how do you know? How do you know that he didn't rebuke the devourer for your sake, and when your car should have, you know, been completely demolished in an accident, that an angel wasn't there protecting you to put your brakes on? You know, I'm telling you, that's literally happened to me. When I was driving through about to drive through a stop sign, I had actually fallen asleep in my car. It's like one of those times where I was driving real early in the morning, and where you hadn't really fallen asleep, but you kind of drift, and you ever have that happen where you're like, where you come up like awake suddenly? Well, I was literally about to drive through an intersection with cars going through, and somehow I just woke right up, and right at the perfect time for me to slam my brakes on and not go through that intersection. Now, maybe I just woke up, you know, by chance. Maybe I just, you know, woke up because, I don't know. But maybe God was there preventing me from going through that tragic event. Maybe God is there more often than you know. Maybe there's a lot of things that you don't have to pay for because you've been tithing. There are so many things that you do not have to pay for as a child of God that people often will, because the Lord is protecting you. But, you know, we wanted the $1,000 check, so we think that this stuff doesn't work. We want the results our way. We want it to come in a pretty package in a nice shiny box and saying, here is your miracle. Here is your suitcase of money that you've been believing for. But how do you know that God didn't bring it some other way? I think too many times we don't, you know, we limit what God can do in our life because we did grow weary in doing good. Because we expected things to turn out a certain way, and when they didn't, we just think that God wasn't there for us, that God abandoned us, that the stuff doesn't really work, or that it might work, but it doesn't work for me. It only works for certain people. It only works for people who have enough anointing. It only works for people that are in the ministry. It only works for people that, you know, pray 3 hours a day. It only works for people that fast 40 days a year. It only works. There's always a reason as to, you know, how someone is more spiritual than us. But I would challenge you and say, how do you know that God isn't working for you right now? How do you know that there aren't piles of untold testimonies to your account right now? You know, one of the things about great men of God and women of God, you know, in the ministry that have had major miracles happen, and, you know, I mean, you like I mentioned, I think, last Sunday or whenever, and, you know, the crowds of a million people that would gather to hear Reinhard Bonnke, and he would pray a prayer for people to be healed, and you would see the wheelchairs coming, flying, you know, kind of like being passed over the crowd, and there'd be piles of crutches and stuff. Well, there's a million people there. That's one of the keys to great men and women of God. They prayed for a lot of people, and just by chance, people are going to get healed. You know, if you go out, if you've only ever prayed for 10 people to be healed, and you didn't ever hear back testimonies, and therefore you're saying, well, I'm not sure if that's for me, or if I have that gift, or if that works, or I'm not sure. How do you know? Maybe you just didn't pray for 1,000 people. The more people you pray for, the more people that you minister, the higher chances are you'll start hearing about it. And I think that's one of the great things, the great keys that those, you know, men in the healing revivals in the 50s is they would have a tent of 10,000 people, and they would pray for 1,000 people a night. And so, yeah, there was plenty of people that didn't receive, but they just kept going. They kept ministering. They kept preaching. They kept laying hands on the sick. And over time, the testimonies kept coming in. Some were instant, some were years and years later. I love listening to Brother Hagin, and he even tells it. He tells how, you know, so-and-so came to my meeting 10 years after, and they had been completely healed by cancer. Wouldn't it have been great if you had known, like, the next week? I prayed for someone last week, and they got healed of cancer. But you might not. You might have to go for a few years before all of a sudden you have these, you know, awesome stories and testimonies to tell. But so, you should encourage yourself in the faith and not be dependent on seeing the results. Not be dependent on what you can physically see with your eyes, what has taken place, but just simply believe God. Keep sowing. Maybe you only get 1 out of 10 that comes back to you. Maybe 1 out of 4 seeds only goes into fruition where you see the maturity. You don't know. But that doesn't mean that God's not working. You think about Abraham. How long did he have to wait for Isaac? Years and years and years of sowing. A different kind of sowing, but nevertheless, it was sowing. You know, woman, get in the tent. It's time to sow some seed. We're believing God for a child. You know, years and years of that. And for years and years and years, he didn't have the fruit. But then one day he had the fruit to show. But he could have given up. How many of us would have given up if for years we'd been believing for a child, and wouldn't we have eventually changed our confession to be, I can't have children? You can't do that. You can't let your circumstances dictate how you believe God. You can't let your circumstances dictate how you talk about what you can do. God says, with him, all things are possible. Maybe you just gotta keep going because due season is around the corner. So don't give up. Keep ministering. You might not feel like you've made a big difference in many people's lives and you're unknown. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep ministering. Keep blessing people. Keep encouraging people. Keep praying for people. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep laying hands on the sick. And watch what will happen. You know, I like the scripture in 1 Corinthians where Paul wrote, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The only way you're going to get more rewards is by your labor. You're not going to receive reward off what someone else has done. So you have to be the one to go out and do. There might be one person this week that you can minister to. And the following week, there might be one more person. And if you do that, year in, year out, 52 people every year, you know, you go a few years. Even if you only ever minister to one person a week, you know, 10 years, that's a lot of people. A lot of people. And you're going to have testimonies. You might not even be in ministry and you have more testimonies to tell than ministers. Amen? Man, I don't want to stop. I have more to say on this, but it's time to come to a close this morning. You know, I had to tell Julia, you know, last night, and she asked me, you know, sometimes I feel like we're not even making a big enough difference. Look, there's other ministers that, you know, they have like, you know, more people that come to their church. She didn't say this, but, you know, as ministers, we tend to think that way. You know, so-and-so, they're doing more than us. So don't worry about what anyone else is doing. We just keep doing what God has called us to do. We just keep blessing the people that God has put in our lives. We just keep sowing forth the word. We just keep putting seed out there because, as Ecclesiastes says, you don't know which one's going to bring fruit, either this one or that one or both. So just keep sowing. Keep being faithful. You might give an offering today, and you might be believing for a specific need to be met this week. And maybe that seed didn't come quick enough. But maybe it bears fruit in a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now. But that's why it says, don't grow weary in well doing. Don't be weary in doing good, because in due season, you know, a seed, when it is sown, it has a season of the time. You know, if you ever look at the back of the seed packet, you know, it tells you seeds have different time frames of germination. You can expect this one to come up in so many days. This one will be up in so many days. You can have a certain time frame of how long it's going to take before you have fruit. This one, you can expect fruit in 6 months. This one might be a year. This one, you know, you don't always know how the fruit is going to come. But you do know that the more that I sow out there, the more likely it's going to keep coming. The more I water it, the more I believe God, the more I keep sowing, the more I keep believing, the more I keep confessing, the more I keep challenging myself. So don't let results get you down. Believe God. He's the one that brings the increase. You're the one that can do the labor, but he's the one that can do the increase. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for unknown testimonies. I thank you for countless unknown testimonies that are out there of people that we've prayed for, that have received, and maybe we don't even know about it. Maybe we never will. But Father, I thank you for us here this morning, that we'll keep going, that we'll run the race, that will keep pressing towards the mark, that will keep going no matter what we see, that we're not walking by sight, but we walk by faith, that we're not dependent on what we see all around us, but we're dependent on you and on your word. And we believe you, we believe your word, that as we sow your word and take action on it, that we always receive the results. Whether we see them or not, we know that you're working for us, bringing in our due season, bringing in that fruit. So, Father, I thank you that we're going to continue to do, to bless, to encourage, to give, to pray for, to lay hands on, that we're just going to keep going in years from now. And in an eternity, we can look back and see all the fruit. We'll see all the people, all the lives that have been impacted. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. I hope that encourages you. I know it encourages me to know that there's people out there that maybe I just don't know about. Because it even happened to Jesus, where there is people out there. You know, we don't have all the stories, but there's even those 9 people that received their healing for their leprosy. And they never came back and told Jesus about it. It doesn't mean that they're not out there. You just might not have heard about it. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. So be encouraged, stay faithful, be strong, and God will show himself strong through you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.